Our scripture reading today is Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news."
Days and 40 nights you were resting in the wild. 40 days and 40 nights, tempted and yet undefiled. Sunbeams scorching all the day, chilly dewdrops nightly shed. Growling beast about your way, stones your pillow, earth your bed. Shall not we your sorrow share, and from earthly joys abstain? Fasting with unceasing prayer, glad with you to suffer pain.
Pray with me this beautiful prayer from the pen of Howard Thurman, the African-American mystic, poet, preacher, prophet, scholar, who in his book, Meditations of the Heart, writes these words. "Open unto me light for my darkness. Open unto me courage for my fear. Open unto me hope for my despair. Open unto me peace for my turmoil. Open unto me joy for my sorrow. Open unto me strength for my weakness. Open unto me wisdom for my confusion. Open unto me forgiveness for my sins. Open unto me tenderness for my toughness. Open unto me love for my hates. Open unto me yourself for myself. Lord, Lord, open unto me." Amen. Up and down, up and down. This has been a week of highs and lows, as indeed are most of the weeks of our lives. One high for me. This past Thursday, a ministers group of which I'm a member was privileged to spend virtual time with Representative Barbara Lee. For many years, Lee has served as the congressperson for California's 13th district, covering much of Oakland and the surrounding area. She's also a devoted Christian and a longtime member of Allen Temple Baptist Church in East Oakland. In the midst of all the upheaval on multiple fronts, including the continued crazy cries of right-wing extremists and white supremacists, the deadly winter storms in the middle of the country, particularly the failure of the Texas power system, the ongoing pandemic, and troubles all over this world, especially for folks in Myanmar who are experiencing a coup. It was hopeful and encouraging for me to hear Representative Lee speak clearly and courageously of the work she's doing to turn so many of these different things around. As she spoke of her work for justice and equity, for peace and well-being for all, she told us of how her work is rooted in her faith. Though she's clear about making her own decisions, she still turns regularly to her pastors for guidance and support. Among the specific things she shared, she recounted in detail her experience of being on the floor of the House of Representatives when the insurrection occurred on January 6th. And how, in the face of the possible murder of herself and her colleagues, she was able to remain calm and at peace, secure in her faith that God would somehow see her through. As we journey up and down, especially in this season of Lent, I remain concerned for our proclivity for self-serving dishonesty, injustice, and violence in this land of the supposedly free and brave, where there is liberty and justice for all. Though it seems at times pointless to rant about the absurdity and the obscenity of what goes on all around us, I take courage from the witness of Barbara Lee and people like her. Barbara, who stood to cast the lone vote against the authorization of use of force against Iraq following the September 11th attacks, in spite of her colleagues' encouragement to go with the flow and avoid potential political suicide. Of course, her district, of which I was then a part, reelected her overwhelmingly under the slogan, "Barbara Lee speaks for me." To her credit, many of those same colleagues on both sides of the aisle have come to value her courage and support her position. As Martin Luther King, himself the victim of an assassin's bullet, continues to remind us year after year, the time is always right to do what is right, no matter what the cost. So I bring these questions to you this morning. Is it acceptable to live in such a disturbed and disturbing environment? Is it, if not, what can we do about it? When tragedy and trauma occur, when many turn to offering their thoughts and prayers, we wonder. It's clear, as important as they are, thoughts and prayers are never enough. In fact, thoughts and prayers too often become an excuse for inaction. It may help the one who makes the offering to feel comfortable, but it doesn't in itself change anything. I've come to believe that prayer and action are inseparable. What's the point of prayer if it does not in some way move us toward a different reality, whether that is a changed mind, a changed heart, or a changed world? The great American rabbi and mystic Abraham Joshua Heschel wrote of prayer, We do not step out of the world when we pray. We merely see the world in a different setting. The self is not the hub, but the spoke of the revolving wheel. It is precisely the function of prayer to shift the center of living from self-consciousness to self-surrender. Jesus experiences just such a reality in today's text. As he steps up out of the waters of the Jordan, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him, and the voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This must have been a magical moment for Jesus. What an amazing affirmation of the carpenter's son from Nazareth. Jesus must have felt 10 feet tall. But Mark moves right on, and the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. Whoa, wait a minute. Is that any way to treat the Son of God, the Beloved of the Holy One? Talk about up and down. Jesus is driven, not politely invited or gently escorted, is driven into the wilderness. Here is Mark's sense of urgency again. No time for niceties. The time has come. Things must be done precisely and on schedule. You see, not even Jesus, the Son of God, the Beloved of the Holy One, is the hub of the revolving wheel. The time has come for Jesus to be in prayer, prayer that will shift the center of his living from self-consciousness to self-surrender. My friend Carl Gregg writes of Jesus in this moment. He needed time and space to hear God's call over the din of the societal expectations around him. Jesus needed time in the desert to align his life with God's way, with God's hope and God's dreams. And isn't that in some sense what Lent means for each of us? We may not be driven into the wilderness, but don't we need time and space to align our lives with God's way, with God's hopes and God's dreams? Isn't this a big part of what it means to recognize that we are made in the image and likeness of God? Perhaps we too will learn to shift the center of living from self-consciousness to self-surrender, as Jesus did. Driven by the Spirit into the wilderness, Jesus spends 40 days and 40 nights alone, except, Mark says, for the company of the wild beasts and the angels. Who knows for certain what those wild beasts and angels represented? More ups and downs, challenge and comfort, real temptation and faithful resistance? Unlike the other Gospels, Mark doesn't give us any details. Jesus had this wilderness experience, as each of us must indeed have, if we want to walk in God's ways and share God's hopes and dreams. What Mark does show us is that after this time of prayer and fasting, of meditation and wrestling in the wilderness, Jesus comes forth ready. Ready to surrender himself to God's will, ready to do the work, ready to make God's beloved community a reality. The time is fulfilled and the beloved community of God has come near. Repent, turn around, and believe in the good news. Prayer leads to action. The day has come. The time is now. Get busy. Heschel has a further pertinent word about prayer. He proclaims, prayer is meaningless unless it is subversive, unless it seeks to overthrow and to ruin the pyramids of callousness, hatred, opportunism, and falsehood. He says the liturgical movement must become a revolutionary movement, seeking to overthrow the forces that continue to destroy the promise, the hope, the vision. Friends, I take this to mean that prayer helps us to see just how that beloved community has come near to us. Repent, turn around. It's time for a revolutionary movement that does away with callousness and hatred, opportunity and falsehood, that overcomes all that would destroy the promise and the hope of the vision of God as it comes alive in our own lives. You see, thoughts and prayers ought to lead us to confronting evil, to speaking truth to power, yes, even to picking up the cross and walking with Jesus in faithful obedience to the will of God. Empty thoughts and prayers, hollow promises sitting on our hands, expecting the future to unfold without any effort on our part, is never enough. Something needs to be done. The time is fulfilled. We cannot wait any longer. We must get moving. So what do we do once we have thought and prayed? One thing is that we cannot keep quiet. When the time was fulfilled for Jesus, he came forth proclaiming good news. What are we to say? What is our good news, especially in the face of the craziness around us? Friends, we may have to frame our good news in the negative to begin with. We may have to say a resounding no to things that do harm, to things that help us but hurt others, to things that do not satisfy. Maybe this no can in fact be a meaningful Lenten discipline rather than the traditional giving up chocolate or booze or something like that for Lent. Maybe it's a saying no to the craziness around us. And we may have to say it loudly and clearly to our elected representatives, to governmental bureaucracies, to powerful lobbies and those who benefit from them. We may have to say it to friends and neighbors, to colleagues and relatives, to acquaintances and to strangers who don't really want to hear it. We may even have to say it to ourselves. This may be a necessary and righteous no, but we utter it in service, and never forget this, we utter it in service of all the beautiful life-giving yeses that are to come as a result. We utter it to help clear the way for the fulfillment of the beloved community. In the end, the good news proclaims a great yes to life in the face of all that would deny it and destroy it. This, friends, is our prayerful work. The time is fulfilled, and the beloved community of God has come near. Repent, turn around, believe the good news, and act on it. Believing, may we willingly surrender our self-interest, our self-absorption, our self-centeredness. In the name of Jesus the Christ, and make it so. Amen.